You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 27 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Liberty 2 Degrees results. Retail remains strong. Office remains struggling. Ness and Naya on that giant Anglo Platinum dividend and Tiger Brands recall. And then Kia Nonyama from Think Markets, Tesla results, and the Federal Open Monetary Committee. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Anglo Platinum hits the sweet spot at the halfway stage. Group metal production up 28%. Earnings up 385%. From Business Day, Tiger Brands track record in focus after another recall. R1 billion written off on their share price as the listeriosis outbreak concerns linger about their abilities there. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P up a quarter of a percent, NASDAQ up 0.1. Asia green, Sydney 0.7 higher, Tokyo up 0.35. Commodities, actually a lot of red overnight. Gold, $1,803 an ounce. Rand, 1479. Top 40 opening call, we're looking for about 240 points down. What's that? About 0.3%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Amelia Beatty, CEO, Liberty 2 Degrees, results out 6 months ending June. Overall occupancy 93.7, that up from 93.3. Loan to value 23.97, very, very low. Net asset value 762, share price 494. Amelia, morning, appreciate the early morning time. I'm assuming that under the level 4, which the president had us, you were having restrictions in your malls, but as of yesterday, your trading hours are back, your liquor retailers are back, and your restaurants are able to sell a beer or a wine with their meals.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, it's really great to yesterday have reopened some of our things that were not trading fully. As you say, our trading hours are back to full trading, and I'm so pleased for specifically the restaurant that's been through such a tough time, and June was a hard month for them after coming back quite strongly earlier in the year.
How has foot traffic been? I mean, even if we look just at the reporting period, which goes to end June, I mean, is foot traffic starting to get back to normal levels, or are you back there already where you would have been, I suppose, back in 2019?
We've seen very strong foot traffic coming back, specifically in April and May. Mm-hmm. In May, we've seen our foot traffic being higher than 2019 levels, as well as our turnover. I mean, we've really been encouraged by turnover specifically being up in positive territory, by 3.7% in May.
Is it? I mean, you've got sort of really the large malls. I mean, best known is probably Sandton City. I mean, is it? Have you had to sort of adapt to it? I know one of the trends we saw during the harder lockdown was a lot of the smaller sort of strip malls. People visiting those. Have you had to adapt to perhaps a different competitive environment, or has your offering carried you through regardless?
We have been severely affected by the lockdown, specifically in the early hard lockdown period. If you look at these results of ours and you compare it to the first half of 2020, we really had extraordinary trading in those first 3 months in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then the hard lockdown hit. And super regionals were hardest hit by that, because all that was open was the grocery retailer inside.
Of course.
And, you know, not many people felt comfortable going there. This year, every time a lockdown happens, we are impacted. But the encouraging thing is that we bounce back quickly, because the malls offer something more than just the normal shopping that you can get at your strip mall. And you can come and get everything. And our malls are safe. I think that's an important aspect of of a larger environment.
Yeah, I mean, in the violence you saw 2 weeks ago, your malls were spared it. You've got the security, you've got the access, in a sense. I mentioned occupancies there, retail occupancy in particular, 96.7%. I mean, I imagine you could nudge it another percent or two higher. Revision under pressure, I mean, it's taking slightly less rands per store. Is that a sort of a view that you're taking, which is, you know, maybe a bit of squeeze on rental, but let's keep the store full, let's keep the traffic?
I think a full retail environment is a really important thing to have. There's nothing more depressing than walking down a mall and every second store is papered up. So the cost of a vacancy is really high. So you are much better off than taking a slightly lower rental, keep the tenant in place, and let's see them through this period that we are in. If you have to put if the tenant leaves, they probably can't pay their last bit of rental. Mm-hmm. There's a long void period. You have to pay letting commission, fit out costs, and you're probably going to let it at the lower rental in any case. So we've really been encouraging our teams to work very hard at keeping tenants there and holding their hands and stepping forward with them so that we all can get through this together. And in the future, when things look better, the rental rates will turn again.
Yeah, they'll come back, and I 100% take your point. Nothing more depressing than a mall with boarded up shops and the like. Emilia Betty, CEO, Liberty 2 Degrees, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money.
Chatting now with Nesan Nair, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Nesan, appreciate the early morning time. Anglo American Platinum, it's like a flashback to 2007, 2008, those special dividends, except this dividend was giant. I mean, 70 Rand dividend, special dividend, 105 Rand. That's a 10% dividend yield just at the interim stage. This is what you expect your miners to do when the commodity prices are booming. But wow, the market liked it. It's great to be a shareholder.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Simon. It's, what a wonderful set of results from Amplats. I mean, you know, it's been coming for quite some time now. Mm. But, you know, I just looked at the headline sort of numbers as well, just to get some context. 43 billion Rand interim earnings. I mean, that's phenomenal. I can't imagine another South African sort of based company generating that sort of money at the interim stage, you know. So I just thought to myself, you know, it's obviously Rand basket price, as you mentioned, a dollar basket price, actually, $2,900. So, you know, one's got to put that into context. But it just goes to show you, you know, what these mining companies are capable of. And if we enable them even further, you know, the sort of foreign exchange they could bring into the country, not just for the benefit of shareholders, obviously, but also for the benefit of the country.
Yeah. Someone on my Twitter, Martin Tach, was saying, you know, is this perhaps the biggest dividend ever? I think it is, because they paid out all 43 billion. And of course, Treasury is licking their lips as well. Dividend tax, income, you know, all the other taxes coming with it. The other big story yesterday, Tiger Brands recalling some tins. As my sign engineer says, you probably got more chance of winning the lotto than getting a bad tin from the Tiger Brands. But, you know, on the heels of the Listerosis, I mean, is this something that indicates a trend, or are we being a little overly nasty? I mean, they've got recall insurance, which I didn't know existed, but I mean, it's probably not going to hurt them financially, but reputation.
Yeah, you know, I scratched my head when I saw that. The result, that announcement came out quite early in the morning on a Monday, and you think to yourself, you know, not another scandal with Tiger Brands.
Yeah.
You know, surely. You know, when I read through it, leaking tins. I've never come across something like that. Faulty welding in cans, and I just thought to myself, you know, and they did go through a great sort of trouble of providing a proper explanation as to exactly what happened and things. And but still, too, Simon, you know, you don't expect there must be some sort of quality control within Tiger Brand. If you're buying packaging material from a third party provider, surely there's a process that's followed in order to determine whether or not, you know, these are going to be safe for food packaging. And that was sort of absent in the explanation. And, you know, so we don't know to what extent the culpability exists with the supplier of the packaging or with them. But in any event, I mean, they have taken the sort of drastic step of bringing back these, returning these 20 million cans and making sure that they're safe for production. But, you know, I just, the first thing that sort of caught my eye was, it's not a blood scandal with Tiger Brand. It's not going to be, you know, a sign of things to come.
Yeah, at least as you point out, they handled this one better. That sense had a lot of detail. The Listeriosis seemed a bit head in sand. Quick last question, just chatting with Liberty 2 Degrees there. I got to say, I was not expecting such a good, and it's not brilliant, but for Super Regionals, I thought there'd be a little more pressure. That result looked better to me than certainly I was expecting.
Yeah, sort of 15 odd cents, the interim stage. A share is at, what, R4.90? They listed at R10. You know, I'm also inclined to believe that the property companies have been punished substantially more than, you know, what the earnings are going to tell us. So, you know, they're probably on a recovery stage. But one thing's for sure, you know, there's not going to be, not everyone is going to survive this pandemic, certainly as far as listed property is concerned. And I suppose, you know, Liberty 2 Degrees in that super regional space, that high end, you know, Saturn City, Eastgate, Melrose Arch, the market's expecting there to be, you know, a secular change in rentals there, and probably pressure on rentals to come down. So, I think there's still, the jury's still very much out on these big property companies at the moment. And I think that's what you're seeing in the share price, notwithstanding the improvement in earnings that we've seen now.
Yep. And I take your point. This is a pick and choose, not a sort of take them all. That's Ness and I, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Kia Nanyama, Manager Equity and Derivative Sales at Think Markets. Kia, appreciate the early morning. After the close, so late last night, Tesla came out with their results, with their almost 12 billion revenue, net income of just over 1.1 billion. Eighth quarter of profit, produced 206,000 vehicles, sold 201,000. I remember, I suppose it was 2-3 years ago when we were, you know, could Tesla get 50,000 vehicles? Could they get 500,000 a year? They've kind of moved past their production woes and they're up there and solidly working is my sense. Your take on those numbers?
Yes, I mean, everything that you look at these numbers, you start seeing a growing company. I mean, apart from the high operating expenditure and the capex that they've had over the years, what you're starting to see is now the operational efficiencies in their manufacturing production, which are producing numbers like 206,000 cars a quarter, which I mean, because of the cars are the main revenue stream, the deliveries and the production are always a sign of how revenue is going to be.
Are we brave enough to say that they have moved on from startup, to your point, and are now a vehicle manufacturer? They've also got the Solar City and the batteries and the like, vehicle, obviously. Can we say that they're no longer a startup, that they've kind of got to that stage where we expect them to produce cars and to make profit from it?
And the real truth is, if you see free cash flow generation over Q2 2020 to Q2 2021, it's up 48%. And for me, the greatest result you can see if a company has gone from startup is when it starts being free cash flow positive. They're generating cash, they're paying back debt, and they're growing revenue. That's all a sign of a company that is growing and is no longer a startup.
Yeah, so we can kind of move it into the new column and the new investment space. We've got a Federal Open Monetary Committee tomorrow, which is our equivalent of the MPC with rates and the like. I mean, there's genuinely a fair bit of excitement around it. It can drive markets. My sense is at the moment is that they're not going to change rates, maybe a bit about the taper. I mean, are you watching extra closely, or is this going to be perhaps a bit of a non-event meeting?
For me, coming from the last meeting we had, which had the market surprised with more taper talks and on the median dot plot, seeing two rate hikes in 2023, which scared off markets, I find this meeting quite important just for reassurance for the market, just so that we know that the Fed is not going to start hiking rates earlier than expected, as well as when the taper talk comes, they'll give us a bit of leeway just to prepare the market for the taper rounds.
Yeah, I'd actually forgotten about the dot plot, which truthfully I'd never heard of before. I mean, in essence, you're looking for them to, I suppose, in a sense, confirm kind of more of the same and keep the markets in a comfort zone. Because, yeah, a month ago we did have a bit of a tenter tantrum after the FOMAC announcement.
That's true. I mean, the chairman has come out and trying to reassure markets going to Congress, reassuring that they will let the market know when they are deciding to taper or raise rates. But looking at the March meeting where no rate hikes were seen in 2023, it was quite a surprise in the last meeting to see in the median dot plot that there were two hikes expected in 2023. It sort of works like the QPM for the SARB, which sometimes is right, sometimes it's wrong, but it really did scare the market.
A couple of months back, we chatted Aspen. They've announced yesterday that the Johnson & Johnson vaccines are finally shipping from their plant in Quebec. It's still a stock which, I mean, it's, you know, not going to be massive profit for them, but a stock that's looking good. I mean, technically on the chart, getting to 170, got some fundamentals behind it. Is it a stock you're still keeping your eye on?
We haven't really changed our view on Aspen. I mean, year to date, you've done about 36.09%. I mean, in comparison to being in other parts of the market, you would have done pretty well in the stock. We haven't revised our top end target. It's still sitting at about $185, which is still just about 10% off. Which just means that we still see some leeway going up on the stock.
I appreciate. We'll leave that there. Ken Nyama, Managing Equity Derivatives Sales Operations at Think Markets. Appreciate the early morning, sir. Since the show today, our poll, which we were asking you yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter, we're asking about U.S. inflation. We've been chatting with Peter Little from Anchor. How much is it worrying you? A quarter of you are saying very much. Just over a quarter, not at all. And about half of you, saying that you're watching and waiting. For me, I'm not massively stressed by it. I think it is transitory, but it is watch and wait. The Fed can get behind the curve. Things could go wrong. And our poll for today, chatting with Nesson there about Tiger Brands in the news again for the wrong reasons. Recalling 20 million cans of vegetable product. It's about 9% of production. How bad a hit is this to the reputation after that Listerosis tragedy of a couple of years ago? You can have your say on our LinkedIn profiles and our Twitter profile. You can have your say. You can have your vote. You can tell us what you think. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 on the website, on the app, and of course wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.